How are we all doing this morning? If you can come on in, we'll get started. Just while you're coming in, I'll just a couple things. I see most of my elders here today, so we are having an elder meeting this morning. So we will have a church business meeting on Thursday night at 6:30. So come prepared to come to that. It won't take that long. Usually they're not, but they're about an hour or so. So it starts at 6:30 on Thursday, so I'd love to have you guys here. Next week, Pastor Mike and I won't be here. You'll have an amazing guest speaker that hasn't spoken in a long time here, but he's all the way from here. So Elder Doug is going to be preaching next week, so you're going to get a treat. It's been a long time, hasn't it, Doug? It's been a few years. I remember when we first started coming here, when Pastor Wayne was gone, Doug and Mike spoke a lot, so I'm going to be sorry I missed it, so we'll watch it online, or I'll watch it when I get back. So, Pastor Mike, here we go again. You know, you just got back and get to go again. I know. Just 1 week home, and then you just need to leave again. I know. It's good. So be praying for us as we go. I think it's going to be a fun trip. We're going to Portland. I don't know how much fun that is. But anyway, it's still going to be a fun trip and worshiping with brothers and sisters and be gone for a couple days. So I think that's it. I don't think I have anything else. Am I missing anything? Do I have any announcements, Teresa, that I need to make from your end? Children's Church is today. We got that? Yes? Awesome. So after our song set, children get to be dismissed. We are doing communion. So Teresa, if you want to just make sure about 5 till or 10 till or so, bring them back. So that's part of our family thing so they can do communion with family. I think that's it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the time that we could just come here and be here as a family. And Father, we just thank you that you have enabled us the ability to be part of your family. And that's the best family to be part of. And Father, we just thank you that we can be here. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for each one that's here. Father, we pray for those of us of our family that aren't here due to travels or sickness. And Father, we just pray that you would just watch over them and those that are not feeling well today. Father, we just pray healing on their lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's worship. You can stand, sing, whatever you're comfortable with. We love to worship.
As the people we won't be silent, we're gonna shout about everything you are, everything you are. As the people we'll stand unshaken, no matter what the world could ever throw our way, we'll never be ashamed. Really? My heart's set on who you are. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day.
Father, I pray that we would live every single day for you, Lord, as a living sacrifice to you, Lord, that we would daily surrender ourselves to your will on our life in each moment with each decision, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. I wanna be near, near to your heart, loving the world. Dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. Great I am. The mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell, nor any who can stand before the power. Thank you.
crashing on above you. Skies break to make way for you. Worship our glorious. Worship our glorious. Mountains bow down at your throne. Valleys rise up to adore. Worship our glorious. Worship our glorious. The earth is majesty, the King of every King, glorious God, your glorious God. He walks the witness scene, creation joys to sing, glorious God, you are. Worship our glorious God. Behold His majesty, the King of every King, glorious God, your glorious God. He walks all in the seas, creation joys in sing, glorious God, your crashing on above you. Skies break to make way for you. Worship our glorious. Worship our glorious.
Heavenly Father, may that be what we are doing today, worshiping you, Lord. Because you are so glorious, you are so powerful, Lord. You are so beautiful and mighty. We thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. We thank you that the waves still know your name. That creation joins in the song of praise to you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, kids can leave. There I go. All right. Cool. Awesome. Well, we had a good time last week, amen. Come on, jeez. That was highly entertaining, and it's always a challenge to listen to the kids' comments. They're going to take care of parents. They're going to be Batman. I mean, they're going to be a bat something. Biologist, that's what it was. And one said that, I don't know what girl he's referring to, whether it was a sister or a friend, but that his ferret smell, she liked his ferret smell. That's always a good thing. So that's what we learned in church last week. It was awesome. It was so much entertaining. I absolutely love that. It's always fun to break scripture down to get little kids engage in it, because that's how it should come. Amen. Are you guys awake this morning? Need some coffee or something else a little more energetic? I mean, not that I want to drink those energy drinks. I know Nick drinks those things. He's ignoring me. I was talking about your energy drinks that you like to drink. I'll leave that alone.
All right, we are in Philippians chapter 4 this morning, and it's always fascinating how I have a plan, and then God's like, you know what, I want you to look at something, and it's pretty amazing. So we're in Philippians chapter 4. Oh man, I forgot their names already. All right, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. And I actually looked these names up and pulled them up and listened to somebody say them, and I forgot how the pronunciation is. So, Pastor Mike, if you know how to pronounce these two ladies' names, I entreat. Oh, God. I had them written down and phonetically how I thought. I can't remember. There you go. To agree in the Lord, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And this is just the introduction here, the greetings and this charge to this true companion to help these women who have labored side by side in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. And the biggest statement there is whose names are in the book of life. If you want your name to be anywhere, that's the place to have your name. And I don't know, I think for me, every time I read anywhere in Scripture, it says where your name is written or talks about God knows your name, I don't think it's the name by which you are called here today. That's just my thought. I think God has a different name than he calls you. I don't know, that's just, I have no proof of that, that's just what I think. Right, because it's just like, I think, not that our names aren't creative and that our parents haven't labored through many, many thousands of names to pick your name, right? But I think God is way more creative than is any book that's ever written about what names are. I could be totally wrong. I may be called Mark in heaven. That's cool. I'm good with that. But I'm just saying. But more importantly, regardless of what I'm called, I'm glad that my name is written in the book of life. And this whole thing, this charge to encourage these women who have labored side by side. I mean, that's how we should be doing life, right? We should be doing this life together as we, in the life that we are called to live here and now. That we labor together side by side, that we're encouraging one another. That's why it is called today, isn't that how Scripture says? Now, I want to get caught in here because where God put me, it was in this next verse, verse 4. And it's a verse that most of us probably have memorized since we were little children. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And I was going to go on from there, but I got stuck on the word rejoice. And how important do you think the word rejoice is in Scripture? Do you think God wants us to rejoice? He does. Because I went through, and we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures this morning. I know I typically use a lot of scripture, I understand. But we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, and I'm going to have a real hard time not preaching every single one of them. Right? But I think it's important that we look at all these different places in the scripture from those, starting in the Old Testament, and I won't use all the ones I even looked up. Right, because I was eliminating some of the ones I wrote down on my page today. I was like, but that one's good too, and that one's good too. And Father's like, I know, but let's stay focused, right? Let's just stick to the ones I'm going to give you, and then encourage them to go look at the rest of them. So we are going to look at this, what it is to rejoice in the Lord. Keep that phrase in your mind as we go through this whole thing. It's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. It's not an option. Does it say if you feel like it?
No.
It just says rejoice in the Lord. So let's flip back all the way back to Deuteronomy. You're going to get a Bible drill this morning. Turn your Bible, Emily. I know you got it. Do you know where Deuteronomy is? Nothing else. Give you a hard time. Deuteronomy chapter 16. I know we have everything on tablets now, but I remember the old days where I used to hear all the fluttering of papers. But now it's all good. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 16. And again, I'll try to give a little quickly, you know, a little bit of history and context, because I'm always encouraging you guys, what? Read what? Scripture and what? In context. Thank you, Emily. All right, that's good. So here he's talking about the Feasts of Weeks, and throughout this here whole thing, there's lots of feasts that we can talk about. But I just want to look at the couple verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 11 through 12. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your sons and your daughter, your male servants and your female servants, the Levi who is within your towns, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you should be careful to observe these statutes. Did he leave anybody out in that verse about who's supposed to rejoice? No. I think he covers about everything, every social, economic people of the day he covers in those verses. But the thing that I love here, it says, rejoice before the Lord your God. And I love the end of verse 12. It says, at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. And I love that, just as, and again, I can make a whole message out of these two verses, but I just want us to think about that. We're rejoicing that he's talking to all of us. Doesn't matter of our social, economic standing. He's saying, telling us to rejoice as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord your God, in the place of the Lord your God, will choose for you to dwell. You ever thought about that? That God has chosen, rejoice in the place where God has you right now. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? But God, I'm going through some hard time. I know. I got you. And Philippians says, rejoice, what, rejoice always, is that what it says? Not sometimes. That makes a difference. It reminds me of a, we were talking about this, Emily and Brian came over, we had a baby girl overnight, it was awesome. And I'm glad she went home last night because we got to sleep. But it's good, I loved having her overnight, and it was a blast. Emily and Brian came over, we were just talking before they left. And we were talking about this place of rejoicing. I remember years ago watching this documentary on, what's the guy's name? Michael J. Fox. So you know Michael J. Fox has either Parkinson's or he has some kind of condition where he can't talk really good right now, and he can't walk real straight, and he has some things going on with him. And it was years ago, and he went to a place in Tibet, and it's called the happiest place in the world. And it's just like their whole lifestyle is, smiling and happiness in this place of just pure joy. And that's their lifestyle. That's how they live to a person in this village. And within 24 hours of him getting off the airplane or helicopter, however he got there, his speech was perfect. His tremors went away. He could walk straight for the whole time he was there. And as soon as he left there, it all came back.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Doesn't Scripture say the joy of the Lord is our strength? I think we say those words and we don't, like it's just a tagline. So when Father says rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, I think it's important, as we'll see in the next couple of Scriptures, and I'm going to try to keep going. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. And again, please go back and read. This is the song of Moses. Go read through this thing, man. This thing is a powerful piece of scripture. I mean, to think that Moses got up and it says a song, so I don't know if he sang it, quoted it, whatever he did. It says a song, so I'm assuming he sang it. I don't know what kind of voice Moses had. I'm assuming a pretty good voice, right? I mean, can you imagine? He had no amplification. Think about that. Right? Moses had no amplification to sing to a few people in front of him. There was quite a few people in front of him, and they guarantee you they all heard these words. Right? So he's going through this whole song of praise and reminding them of where God has brought them. And we hit verse 43. It says, rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods. For he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. Wow. Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua, the son of Nun. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. I know there's been many times where Father has brought me through some amazing things in my life and hardships in my life. And when I get to that place of rejoicing and I get to that place in the land that Father has given me to possess, He's given me territory to possess. He's given you territory to possess. Think about that. Do you rejoice in those moments? Do you rejoice in this place that everything is under Him? And we have access to this kind of power. We have access, and there shouldn't be anything in the heart of a believer that doesn't cause us to rejoice. And I get it. I get it in the hard times. You get it when we have loved ones, when we have loved ones pass on. I get those situations aren't easy. And there's nothing in Scripture that suggests in those moments we should be, you know, just all happy all the time and like, it should be there's celebration and pieces, but there's a time to mourn. Scripture tells us that, right? But in the midst of that, there needs to be this attitude of rejoicing always. So that's Moses singing. Let's flip over to another person who, this amazing lady, 1 Samuel. First Samuel 2, I could find it. And again, please read this whole prayer of Hannah. I'm not only going to read the first couple verses of it. But we all know the story of Hannah where she prayed for a son to the point where the priest thought that she was drunk. Man, what kind of prayer was that? When's the last time you ever prayed that somebody thought you were drunk and how you were praying? I don't even know what that looks like. Right, but the intensity that she was praying at caused this priest to think that she was drunk. And then Father, He gives her a son, and she commits him to the Lord. And she brings him to the Lord, and this is her prayer. In chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm a dad, and I have my dad feelings toward my children. I'm a grandpa, and I have my feelings toward my grandsons. But that's not the same as a mom and a grandma. It just isn't. They connect on a whole different level. Emily, how hard would it be for you to bring, you know, Quinn in here and say, "Here you go. You get to have her, and I'll visit her once a year, and I'll bring her some clothes." Would that be easy? Even if you were giving her to me, I'm her grandpa. No, it wasn't easy for her overnight. They weren't gone, what, an hour at dinner, and you were already, like, missing your baby, right? That's the heart of a mom. So for Hannah, I mean, get that. So for Hannah to get to this place, that I can't even imagine her thought process. And we make promises all the time to God that are way smaller than that. And how many times do we not follow through on the promise we make to God? By the way, we shouldn't do that. Scripture's very clear about that. Right, but here's Hannah rejoicing. "I rejoice in your salvation." And man, please go on to read the rest of that prayer of hers in chapter 2, because that's a powerful prayer from the heart of a mom who knows who her God is. And every time I look at these people in the Old Testament, they have these encounters with God, I go, man, how cool is that? Do you understand that they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? It just blows my mind. Right? It's like, keep that in mind as you think about these people that rejoiced in what God was doing in their lives in the moment. And we've been giving everything. We've been given everything. We have the full context of the Word of God written down. Hannah didn't have this. All right? So, man, as far as this place of rejoicing, man, it's just like, here's Hannah in this mother's heart. Understand there's no one holy like the God, and there's no rock like our God. I mean, she had to believe that to the core of her existence to go, "Here you go. Here's my son. I'll visit him once a year." First Chronicles 16. I wrote the wrong thing now. Oh, no, I didn't. It's there. Now I'm here. And here's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And again, here's another person in the biblical history. Here's David's song of thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. I think there's a key right there on how to rejoice always. It's this continual pursuit of who God is. This continual seeking his presence continually. Man, I mean, and it's more than just, you know, our quiet time every morning or whenever we do it. That's an important piece of our life for sure. It's more than just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's more than all these things that we do that are good things. It's this continual pursuit every moment of our day. Father, in every situation, how are you wanting to interact with me in this situation? How in this moment can I rejoice in the circumstance that you've placed me in? How in this moment can I rejoice over this person that's hurting, and not from, and that sounds really weird, but how can I be that source of that reminder of who God is to that person that's really hurting? There, man, to walk alongside and come alongside each other in those moments, and man, I'm rejoicing about what Father is doing in your life right now. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. And when we're going through those moments, man, it's about being reminded. And I know we like to use our favorite scriptures in those moments, and those are well and good, but it's all about timing. It's all about that listening piece, right? When we're talking to people, especially in pain, sometimes it's not the time to trot out the verse, God works all things together. Is it true? Absolutely. But I know I've been in those moments. I don't want to hear that. I know it's true, but I don't want to hear it in the moment. That's not the best thing you can say to me in that moment. Maybe use something else, but I'm just saying, and it's in this place of rejoicing that, you know what? Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Why? Because in those moments, he will give you the power, he will give you the words, he will give you the insight, and sometimes the words are nothing. Sometimes the words are you just sitting in the presence of God and sitting in the presence with a friend that's hurting or celebrating or whatever it is, and sometimes the silence is the best thing we can ever do. I know I have gotten myself in more trouble with my wife by opening my mouth than by shutting it, right? Now, you can go to the extreme and not communicate. That's not a good thing, right? But I'm just saying this place of seeking the Lord continually is a place to rejoice. So that's David. Flip over to Nehemiah chapter 12. So we're getting a real smorgasbord of these people throughout the Word of God in this place of rejoicing. This attitude of like, man, rejoice always. And here we are in Nehemiah, and they're dedicating the wall. This is, again, please go back and read this whole account and all the things that are going on here in this. I've preached this before through these different things on dedication of the wall, all the choirs, all the singing that's happening, all the noise that's happening. We get down to verse 43 of Nehemiah 12. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. I think the word rejoice is used like three times in that verse, wasn't it? I think God wants us to rejoice. Now, they were celebrating, rejoicing over the dedication of this wall, this physical wall, right? But just think about the things that God has built up in your life, right? Think about, we were talking about this last night, Emily and Brian and Devon and I were talking about this thing of godly heritage and people who have broken the cycle of their family tree. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's addictions, maybe it's there's a long line of family history that have no idea who God is, and one person finally stands up and they get to have a life encounter with God, and their life radically changes and they start a godly heritage. Is that not something to rejoice over? Right? And I love that they said, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. I'm saying the world should know Christians by, first and foremost, their what? Love. Their love, right. And I think secondly, they should know, Christians should be known for how much they rejoice regardless of what's going on. But I guarantee you, because I'm out there and I've talked to enough people, that is not what they think Christians are. And you know me, I am not banging on the bride of Christ. I'm not. But I'm saying, when we are not known for our love and we're not known for how much we rejoice over the amazing things that God gives us, and we're just known for what we're against, and we're known for we hate you because you do this kind of sin and all that kind of stuff, that is not the right thing we should be known for. Just saying. What would it be like if Wasilla knew Wasilla Community Church for the joy that its family had in this place? I would love, when I go out in the community, you know what I hear all the time when you tell, like, oh, I'm a pastor of Wasilla Community Church. Oh, where's that? Oh, it's on Palma Wasilla. Oh, the one with all the flowers. Yeah, I mean, that's cool, right? I love that we're known for our flowers, right? It's cool. I love it. But I would rather have them go, oh, the church that celebrates, the church that loves people, that church that accepts you right where you're at. You don't have to get cleaned up. The one that group of people that, man, you can be so messy and they just love on you. Man, give me that. I'd rather have dead flowers hanging out here and not have a stitch of grass or anything. I mean, I love all that, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, I'd rather have dirt, gravel, no flowers, no beautification out there, and be known for love and people who rejoice than anything else. I would love for us to be known and heard far away. Because, man, there's some people who rejoice because they know who God is in their life. It's just not a tagline. It's not a t-shirt. It's not anything else. It's what they believe to the core of their existence. And I'm running out of time, but we're going to pick up here. We're going to go through a couple more, and then we're going to one more this morning, and then we'll do communion. Psalm chapter 13. Psalms chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I have trusted in your steadfast love. And my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully, that's a big word, with me. I could look up the definition of bountifully and get an English, dictionary definition of that. But I guarantee you that bountifully that we could define in English verbiage is not the same thing as God's definition of bountifully. And we experience all that he is every single day. And here's the thing, do we rejoice at his salvation? We can't rejoice in his salvation if we don't trust in his steadfast love? I mean, every single day, think about that, the steadfast love of God. There's no conditions on it. There's no exhausting it. There's no going to come a place where he's like, oh, no, I don't love you anymore. I just fell out of love. It's just a ridiculous concept on a human level. But it happens, I hear. Why? Because we stopped having a relationship. When I talk to people that say those words, they stopped the work. They stopped the communication. They stopped working at the every single day. How do I love this person? How do I rejoice and celebrate that person in my life? See, we're talking about rejoicing in God and all things he's given, but what about rejoicing in the person that's sitting right next to you this morning? What about rejoicing in the family that God's giving? What are we about rejoicing in all the things that he's given us? He's given us so much. He has dealt bountifully with us and continues to do so. Is that not enough to rejoice in? We were talking yesterday, men's breakfast, about, you know, people that had, you know, have stupid money, like millions and billions of dollars, and what they do or don't do with it. Right? And I was laughing. I go, well, I'd love to have millions and billions of dollars to go have fun and, you know, pay people things off, you know, without them knowing. Yet at the same time, God hasn't given me that ability, so he must know something about myself I don't. Right? So it's just like, what is it that, you know, in these moments, like, because some people, that's what they rejoice in. They rejoice in more money. But as we were talking yesterday, there's somebody that has billions of dollars and they're still not happy. And then I watch these, I don't do it very often, but every once I watch these guys that are making, I still don't understand how it works, but these YouTubers that make all this money, these young guys that are doing all these different videos. And I watch these young guys over and over put out these videos of how they're giving things away. Giving lots of money away, or giving computers away to college students, or giving. So you see the heart of generosity, right? You see the thing that they're rejoicing in their ability to give back to their community. But we have something so much greater than money. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we're going to pick this up in a couple weeks when I get back. Because there's still some other scripture because I'm barely scratching the surface of the amount of scriptures that talk about rejoice, this word. And I encourage you to, one of the best tools that I have that I use in studying is, it's free, it's online, it's called Blue Letter Bible. It's one of the best tools out there you can use. It has a myriad of resources, and you can type in this word, just to type in the word rejoice, it'll give you everywhere in scripture where that word is used. It's awesome. I love it. And again, I encourage you, don't just look at that one verse. Look at everything around it, because then you really see the impact and the power of that one verse that we use. So this command to rejoice always, I know it is how we must live, not should. To me, this isn't an option. To me, this isn't if you feel like it. Just like loving one another, it's not an option if we feel like it. And I think when we get in this place as adults and we pass it on to our generations that are sitting back there, they'll be joining us in a few moments, and our wee ones that are right there, if we keep pouring into these young lives, like, this is what it is to be part of God's family. Generation changes. I know there doesn't look a lot of hope in our world right now, but God is still in control. We saw a little bit of that this week. It was kind of funny. But anyway, right? God is still in control, and people think they've got it all figured out. God's like, no, I got this. Just think, I got this. I put people in power that I want into power for my purposes. And we as his children, is our job, our calling is to rejoice in the Lord. Father God, this morning as we close, as we go into our time of remembering and communion, Father, this morning. Father, above all things, man, we need to love each other. And love on a level that we don't even understand right now. We got pretty, you know, most of us have a pretty good concept of what that looks like. But Father, every single day as we wake up, Father, how do I love? And secondly, Father, how do I rejoice in the day that you've given me to live? Father, I pray that we have our eyes are open, our ears are open to the experiences around us that you will lead us into. And give us those moments to rejoice and give us those moments to speak a word into each other's lives. Give us those opportunities to speak a word into a total stranger's life that is down and out, and they have no hope and they have no peace and they have no, there's no sense of someone that loves them in their life. Father, those encounters that you give us to walk into are not by accident. You direct our steps. May we be faithful and obedient to follow where you're leading. And not get out of step with you. And not get out of the mindset and the way of living, this way of living of always rejoicing. We thank you in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to do communion this morning. And as we always do communion, excuse me, on the first of the month. But again, it's not something just that we always do because it's the first of the month, first Sunday of the month. But again, I pray that we always, when we come and take communion, we always remember what it signifies, what it's about. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without his blood covering everything, this is all a waste of time. So every single time, I pray that we just remember, as much as we're humanly capable of trying to grasp the gift that's been given to us, that moment that he gave up his final breath and he shed his blood to cover all of our sins, the sins of all the world for all time from beginning to end, that still is beyond my ability to grasp. That he covers the sins of those who will reject him to the day they die just really messes up my head. So as you come this morning, I pray, more importantly, that you just personalize it and just be so grateful and thankful for, man, Father, thank you for seeing Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for being obedient. Because we know he could have called 10,000 angels. I only need one. I think about that sometimes too. I don't know if we'll get to see that moment in time. But Father God, having to hold back angels. That's just my own thoughts, right? That's what I see. They had the power to save Jesus. And Father's like, no, he's got this. Think about all that as you come this morning and receive communion. Doug and Diane, you want to take this side for me, please? So just come when you're ready. Nick can play some music and just come up and receive the elements and then just go back to your seats and take them when you're ready. can we just like the words of that song, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the place, Jesus, where you died. I thank you that you poured out your life. You gave everything for us. And the simple words, thank you, are just not enough. There's no words in our language or any language that can convey the gratitude. But I'm glad that we just simply have to believe. We simply have to believe, Jesus, that your blood covers us. Every single sin we will ever commit in our life, your blood paid for it all. Father, I continue just to pray, Father, that we live as blood-bought sisters, sons, daughters. That's it. You just have children, that's it. May we walk in the resurrection power every single day. And every single day rejoicing. Because of who we are in you and who you are in and through us.